Hello, you're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
And we're from the otakuspirit.com website, where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community in the form, links at the top, social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. Today we are reviewing Aria the OVA, Arietta, Aria the Originator, and Aria the Avenir, which were all complete in one box set that Nozomi Entertainment and Right Stuff released here recently, or releasing it recently. I'm not sure if they released it already. We got a review copy, so it's going to release. But yes, this is the final of their releases on Blu-ray that they did. Of course, they've had the DVDs for quite a while now, but they did a crowdfunding to release them on Blu-ray, completely, you know, kind of remaster them and release them in Blu-ray quality. So that's amazing. And yes, like I said, they sent us a review copy so we can check it out, see what we like about it, and let you guys know so you can decide on your end if it's something you want to pick up. And we appreciate them sending us that. So yes, we finally can say that we've watched Aria. We officially can say that. It's been a long time coming, because I think the original ones was like 2004 or 5 or something like that. And now with this release and us watching it, we finally can finally put it to sleep, even though they technically have announced another season coming. So it was just in time that we got to watch this so that we can enjoy that when that one comes out. So really awesome. Like I said, it's a complete, this particular part has the two OVAs and the season of the Originator. So Origination.
That's twice now.
But yes, the Origination was a 13 episode series. Arietta was only a 30 minute OVA, and the Avenir was a 3 episode OVA, which I was surprised to find that it was a 2015 release for the last one. So I didn't think that one was that recent, but I kind of told Chris, I think that was probably why our forums at the time that was just kind of kicking up sort of started talking about Aria suddenly out of nowhere. I think that was probably because that particular OVA was releasing. So,
and it would have been really easy for us to skip it, knowing that it already had stuff out, and that at that time we did that a lot, was skipping shows that we hadn't watched the previous season.
And I kind of assumed that it was probably one of those ones that, even though it was on the agenda to release that year, we wouldn't see it because it was an OVA. So I don't know that it was streamed on Crunchyroll at the time.
Probably
but
not.
I'm going to assume not, because that was about the time they weren't really getting many OVAs and theatrical releases that they seem to here recently get a lot of, which is cool. So yeah, that's by Studio Howl Filmmaker, except for the Avenir, which was the 2015 released one. They actually changed studios to Teo Animation, so interesting thing there. I kind of sensed a little bit of change in visual style and a little bit increase of CGI, which I think they did a really good job on the CGI for. Well, even the Originator was using a lot more CGI than the original ones were, and it seemed like they were doing a good job of kind of blending it in with the art style. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, they were going all out on the vistas and background art.
Yeah, the original ones you can see a lot with the water. They use a lot in the water and the windmills, stuff like that. But this one, like even the spacecrafts were starting to be CGI. And I was like, oh, okay, we're starting to do that now. But yes, this was based off of manga. Genres are fantasy, sci-fi, shonen, and slice of life. The creator was Kazue Amano, who of course did Amanchu as well here recently. And yeah. I was asking Chris, it's one of those things where I ask beforehand, but we don't even make a decision until we actually get in the podcast. But I kind of want to be semi-spoilery here for this particular review, just because I think we're 3 seasons in at this point. If you're going to watch it, you've been watching it already at this point. I really do suggest watching it. We won't go into like the deepest spoilers. We probably will do a spoiler discussion later on, but I do want to hit on a couple things as we kind of go along here, so keep that in mind. But either way, it's a must watch at this point. I think we established that with the first 2 parts that it was a fantastic series. But no, I was thinking while I was making the outline, I think the first 2 seasons made me appreciate Aria for a series that is definitely Yashike. It never really gets too heavy on stuff. It's very lighthearted. It's very peaceful. It's very kind of healing in its presentation and its storytelling. Never really hits on heavy stuff.
Except for Death of Boats.
Yeah, the death of the very long death scene that took the Matrix off the throne. The The but no, the Originator, the Arietta, and Avenir. I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on Arietta. I appreciate what it was, but definitely the Originator and the Avenir made me love the series. Like those were just. Origination was a fantastic season altogether, and the Avenir was just kind of like putting the icing on the cake at that point. So definitely a huge step up for not really necessarily say that the other seasons were bad. It's just there isn't a lot happening. Like nothing really changes in the characters except for Alice. Alice does throughout the entire series of Arya have a lot of changes in her because she goes from very... you know, to herself, thinking everybody's fake and not wanting to interact with people, to really opening up to people. So she definitely does have a lot of changes throughout the series, but it isn't really until, like I said, the Origination and onward that everybody has, like, substantial changes that happen in their lives that I kind of was wanting. like by the end of the second season, I was like, I kind of want to have some stuff really start happening with these characters. I want to see them... really take their next steps, and it definitely does present that for the characters.
Yeah, I was going to call it a baton passing season. This is absolutely a phenomenal. Just from the get go, you're already seeing signs of it, and as it goes on through the episodes, you see that baton being handed over to the next generation, and it start. Leading into the next generation that they're going to be working into and what we're going to be seeing here soon, I hope. I'm like at the end of this season, I was definitely looking over at Andrew and I'm like, the one downside to having watched this in its completion is now I am absolutely frustrated that I don't get to see the next season already.
And that was kind of my point, is the idea that with everything else, with the other seasons, it was a lot of kind of very self-sustained stories. Here they're training, they run into this person has a story. They're training, they run into a person, this is this person's story. And a lot of just kind of world building. Just, here's this thing, here's this thing, here's this sightseeing, this is why, this is something that this character likes, something this character likes. This is the season where it's like, okay, now I really want to see where these characters go from this point, because now I can see that the writer does want to, I guess, move forward and make these characters become something rather than just show the character in the presence, show the character and how they're, what direction they're going. And that was the big thing for me for these particular ones, is that, yeah, I agree with you now. It's like, I want to see the next thing now, because they finally opened that door and now I want to see what's beyond that door. And it does a good job of kind of giving a little bit of a feeling of this is where they're going. Not to say, because I'm not saying that they open the door and you don't get to see where it goes. You do get a little sense of where they're going, but it's almost like a tease. it's like any other anime season or an anime series that is, you know, self-contained. Like a lot of originals do this, where they have a really great story they tell, and then they'll do a kind of a jump forward at the end, and then it kind of tells you that, okay, they did, you know, become adults or something like that. They're always great because you're like, I don't get to see this portion of their life. I get to see a little bit of snippet that they went further. And I always love that, but at the same time, it's always like, why can't anime do more adult life stuff? Because I want to see these people as, you know, what they became or what job they pursued or something like that. I want to see them further in their life than just their childhood. And this one does something similar to that. And it does give you a little bit of a glimpse that I did really appreciate. But yeah, as usual, it looks fantastic. I think this time more than usual. And again, I don't know if it's because I just wasn't looking for it in the original. I remember in the original ones, I was really floored by the vistas and the visuals and the backdrops and all these great visuals they present, and the style that the creator chose. I love their character designs, love the dresses and all that kind of stuff. But this one, more than ever, it seemed like the animation was just, it jumped out at me. Like just the simple animation they do with these characters that make them really do seem like they're living characters. It didn't seem like they pulled any stops on the animation.
to me, this season, definitely the treat that I got out of it was the character moments. I had a lot of moments where I was just absolutely enthralled by the story that they were telling.
Yeah. And it was funny because they had, at some point, they kind of finally bring in other Undines to the mix. They were, Akari decides to, well she's asked by Alicia if she would like to work at the, what do they call the trajetos, which are these kind of boats that they use to go from one dock to another. They're not really like the traditional Undine, you know, taking two people somewhere. And they gather like three other members from other, one was like from Orange Company and some other ones. They brought these other characters in, Ayumi, Tora, and Anzu. And it was really great to have them into the picture because it was like, okay, now we get to finally see some other unique characters. And again, beautiful character designs, great animation, and a small glimpse into these other characters that I was like, okay, cool. We get to see other people besides just, again, I love them to death, Alice, Aika, and Akari, but getting to see other Undines and what they're kind of inspiring for. One was like, I just want to be a Trajetto person. One wanted to really badly pass her Prima exam. So it was really cool to see other people in the mix. And of course, I don't know if I'd want to get into that, but some other characters later on in the very, very late episodes was great as well. I think the only thing, if you wanted to pull a criticism out of me from these two OVAs in this one single season, I love seeing characters that are troubled by something. I think Akari being troubled by the possibility that one day she'll become a Prima and that, you know, Alicia may leave her and move on really was kind of a... And we kind of chuckled about it. We kind of cracked a couple jokes here and there. Like, is Alicia dying or something? I think at some point I'm like, what was annoying about it was really kind of making us question what we understood about the construct of the promotion system that they have. Because what they made it seem like was that once Akari became a Prima, Alicia would have to retire. And so I'm like thinking, okay, because I remember Akira was talking to Aika at some point saying, well, there's a lot of people that want to become Undines and want to become Primas, or there's a lot of Undines and they want to become Primas, but it's very competitive. There's not many slots. And so I thought that was maybe a system where there's only so many Primas that can be. And then if Alicia gave Akari the ability to become a Prima, that she would have to take her slot. And then like later on at some point I joked to Chris, I'm like, there's the proof, it doesn't have to be that way. Something happened in the show and I was like, look, there's the proof, it doesn't have to be that way. So why the heck is Akari doing this? And it was a little bit of a annoyance, the fact that seemed to be the theme for a lot of the episodes. It was almost like the boat thing all over again. It's like sometimes it seems like the writer kind of gets caught up in these one themes and just digs it up a little bit too many times, where at some point I'm like, these people aren't dying. And Alicia shouldn't be retiring. She's only been doing this for 4 years. There's a lot of things that are like, I mean, unless, because like I joke with Chris, it's like technically she's been working day and night for every day for a long time. We rarely get to see her. So obviously she's working long hours. Maybe she has a lot of money in the bank. I don't know.
Yeah, that would probably be about the only thing that I debated whether or not I wanted to call it a beef, because I really did love this show through and through. We as far as the annoyance level, it was just something that me and Andrew ended up joking back and forth about, because it was kind of one of those, it was almost a silly thing. It was heavily foreshadowed at the beginning, and then towards the end, okay, this is really the direction you're going with it. Okay, I guess that makes it okay, but like Andrew was saying, they were almost to the point where it was like, okay, really, you getting promoted does not mean Alicia dies.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, she's not going to go anywhere. She's still going to be there at some point. You're probably going to cut scenes and she's going to come visit or something. But yeah, it was really kind of pounding on that. And like I said, that was probably my only, if you pulled it out of me, that's my only kind of beef with it, because everything else was absolutely fantastic. I think it was, and it's great because so many writers by a point like this are going to start, you know, losing material or something, which I think that's what it really does feel like, is that it kind of does all those, you know, single stories and lets the characters just exist. Nothing really kind of goes anywhere technically. And then suddenly at some point, the writer, I would assume, gets to the point where they're like, okay, I want to take these characters somewhere to the next level. And he did a phenomenal job with it. It was a fantastic kind of, I don't know, I want to say it's a conclusion, because technically it still goes. And I'm really excited to see where it goes next. I guess I would leave it there for the non-spoilery area. I do want to, not that we're going to take it forever, but I would like to hit on some points that I really loved about the show, but I don't want to get into them without spoiling things. So I guess at this point we'll kind of move on to spoilers. So you've been warned at this point. Going forward, we will be talking full-on spoilers for those particular series, The Avenir, The Origination, and Arrietta. So keep that in mind going forward. For those that have to actually leave us, thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys listening. And definitely, if anything like this sounds interesting to you, definitely go check out the Blu-ray that's released from Nozomi Entertainment, Right Stuff. So yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to stop Chris as he was going into something I didn't want to go into.
Okay. Well, now that we are completely open, I absolutely loved the way that they handled the explanation of why it took so long for the Prima exams. Because, I mean, you had Alice and Akari and Aika, each one of them showed that they were fully capable of handling anything that they were given. Akari had already had several customers, and that led to us wondering what is the Prima, and what is it that they're supposed to be doing? What do they gain by having the Prima status? And letting Alicia finally explain to Akari, hey, the real reason you've been ready to be a Prima for a long time. This entire thing, I've just been being selfish and keeping you to myself for a little bit longer so that I could keep to my time as long as possible. Alice's explanation, Athena explaining to Alice, you were already at Prima status by the time you got here. We just had to wait for you to become
to graduate
school.
She's going straight from middle school straight to the working class. Great society there.
I absolutely loved that. And really, in all actuality, Alice and Aika kind of forced Alicia to end up having to shove herself forward. So I love the way that they actually played that all out.
I was really curious because they never really keep you in tune of like, oh yeah, Alice at this point is this age. Alicia at this point is this age. Akari is this point at this age. So I'm really, really curious. Maybe somebody has it somewhere. Maybe the manga specifically says it, but I wonder if Alice was 15 or younger when she became a Prima, because that would mean she would take the title of the youngest as well from Alicia. She was the first ever skip straight to Prima, because she never became a single, and she went straight to Prima. So she skipped the promotion straight to Prima. And so that was her thing, that's her unique thing, is that she was able to skip straight to Prima. And so now I'm curious if she also, they never mentioned it, but I remember the one big thing about Alicia was that she was the youngest to become a Prima at 15, I believe.
Right.
So that would be cool. No, you had to bring this. Of course, I would bring it up eventually, because it's the only con that I have for this entire thing. Like I said, for the non-spoiler area, if you dragged it out of me, it was the whole fact they kept acting like Alicia was going to die if she retired. But no, it was like the fact that Alice's episode, when she went out with Athena to do the whole picnic and she had her be, you know, treat her as a customer, and it goes up on the hill and you see all the people there. And it was funny because we were like, is she going to just, she's going to get one of her gloves taken off. And I kind of joke like, no, she's going to go straight to Prima. And then she goes and takes the other glove. I was like, I was kind of joking, but that's cool. And it was a really great emotional episode. I mean, you had Alice sing because Athena kind of gave her that, you know, that little nudge that she needed by saying, you know, people are going to love your music because you sing it and that you love it. If you don't love your singing, then nobody's going to love your singing. And so she just starts singing. It was a fantastic little song that she sung, and it was just extremely emotional. All the
so she literally gathered, she literally became the youngest, the skipping. She's the hard worker and the singer. So she's got all of them in combined in one.
Yeah, she was a genius. So, but no, it was like she got this great episode. I loved it to death. And then like it jumps to Akira, and she's kind of having that inner struggle, which I love to death. This idea that Akira has this inner. She had in her past where Alicia and Athena became primas, and she was left behind because she couldn't keep up with the geniuses. And Aika gave her the inspiration to keep pushing forward and make her own, I guess, reason why she needs to be a prima. And she's seen Aika possibly having the same thing happen to her. What if Akari becomes a prima? And then Aika's going to be in the same situation that she was. And I love that to death. And it was so great. But, and this is probably my only legit actual thing I did not like about this particular section of the series. They put her whole promotion thing in an intro. Yeah. No dialogue. You didn't get to hear. It showed, you know, Akira going with Aika out to some flower place. And then... It was no dialogue because the music's playing and they're just, you know, mouth are flapping like they're talking. And then she takes off the glove. I'm like, are you seriously doing this scene in an intro with no dialogue? You can't hear, you know, Akira maybe choking up or something like that, being her goofy tsundere self. It was so annoying. I was like, because Aika is like my favorite character out of the entire cast. And, you know, struggling with Alice. I love Alice to death because... she's a fantastic character, but I love Aika's character, and I wanted to see her prima moment, and I didn't get to see it. Oh, I got to see it, but I didn't get to hear it. I didn't get to hear what they talked about. We just had to find out later, like, oh, yeah, by the way, and she's, you know, this is her title, and yeah,
she became it. I can't practice with you no more. What? Oh, you did not.
Yeah, I thought we skipped an episode, because the episode literally opened up with Aika saying, sorry, Akari, I can't. Oh, yeah, because you're a prima now. I'm like, did I skip an episode? And then, boom, intro shows it. Like, oh, God, you guys did that? Really? That's the one I was looking forward to.
I thought she was on another mushroom trip for a second. Yeah. So.
Now she's making the new girls do it. Now she's making I do it. So, yeah, Aichan now is the mushroom eater. But yeah, it was great seeing Akari actually get an entire segment to herself to become a prima, unlike Aika. And that was a sweet one as well too. But of course that kind of in with it comes all the stuff you talked about with her, why Alicia didn't promote her, you know, pretty much right off the bat, because Akari, like Alice, were the geniuses. They were the ones that were able to figure this out really quickly and do a fantastic job. Akari had the personality from the get-go. Alice, yeah, technically didn't have a good personality to go with all of her skills, but she gained that personality that she needed. And of course, Aika being the more, I guess, hard worker to work towards it. So they drew parallels. So cute, mm-hmm. Right? No, I love the jump forward. Love seeing the characters in the future. Unfortunately, they kept true to adulthood and working. You don't get to see each other often. Of course, you get a little bit of glimpse of it with Alice kind of wanting to have an excuse to see everybody and fearing that she, you know, can't hang out with anybody anymore and that not being really true. But, yeah, like the little glimpse of Akari, you know, running the shop and having Ai as her new kohai or
Apprentice,
yeah. Get the little glimpse of Anya and Azusa, who are the new apprentices for Aika and Alice. So that was great, too. And
we even got a nod towards the sappy line.
Yeah. She's like, is that the famous sappy lines I've heard about?
Is that the rumored sappy lines?
And then we get one right at the end when Atina was singing to the group as they're having their party, and they said something sappy, and Aika's like... No, sappy lines. She didn't even say it like she usually does. She just kind of very, very somberly says it. That was really cute. Yeah, love to death. It's great. It was interesting to see Alicia's explanation of why she doesn't scold Akari. It was kind of one of those... Of course, I kind of joked about the fact that... Because I mentioned, I think, before where... always felt that Alicia was secretly an enabler of Akari and her little mushroom dreams of running into Kate Sith, and now suddenly we get an entire episode to confirm the fact that Alicia is indeed an enabler because she feels that positivity fixes everything, and I kind of felt like they kind of went to that direction of kind of proving that, yeah, you technically created this monster, congratulations. And then now when Akari is practically... you know, in an extreme depression because you're leaving, this is what you caused. But no, that was great, because I think I mentioned the voicing was fantastic. And I think it shined most in this season because there was so many emotional points. Akari breaking down as, you know, she thought that Alicia was gone, and then Alicia shows up, and she's like, oh, yeah, you just went to the store, and starts breaking down because she's, you know, afraid of losing Alicia. It was really... really fantastic. So, yeah. Think I somehow managed to get through all my notes without even looking at any of it. Very fresh in the mind, which is great for these reviews.
Poor Hime. We need to have a moment of silence for Hime.
I don't know where you're getting that from, but okay. The girls are looking for another cat, and I'm like, the cat probably just went with Aika to the other branch.
They only need a new... Well, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Now, I don't know if they can only have one cat company, or if they can have one per branch, because Aika went to another branch and she probably took Hime with her. That was my thought.
That's a good point.
Could be dead.
We'll find out for sure in the next season.
Obviously, yes. And then, no, I was actually really surprised, because I was expecting to see Hime pop up at some point towards the later part of that, but... because they brought the other two cats with them, but Hime never really ever went anywhere with Aika.
Yeah, she always stayed at home.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually off to the side. It was a hit and miss. I mean, just as much as Ma. I mean, it was a hit and miss when he would pop up.
Didn't bring Ma everywhere.
It was just more obvious that Ma was there because he always did the grabbing his Arya's belly.
Yeah. We're not huge fans of Arya. The cat. So Arya is like the butt of our jokes a lot. So it's like every time Arya did something stupid, it was stupid cat. I did kind of like the grandma.
We're dog people, okay? I love cats at work, but they're good at work.
I did kind of like the little glimpse into way back when the grandma first met Arya. Which, again, kind of brings up the whole question of how the hell old is Arya at this point? which means that Arya is like a really old grandpa that was going after Hime, who was really young. So we don't know how old Hime was. So
that's true. If Hime passed away, then that means that Hime was probably pretty old.
Very old, too. No. No, but it was kind of one of those things where, like, she runs in the cat and then keeps coming back the cat, and the cat, or Arya, the cat, ends up kind of teaching her the idea of kind of stopping and kind of appreciating things in front of her, and that's why she kind of the whole creation of the Arya company was because of that, which was pretty cute. And her first meeting Alicia and making Alicia take over the place, a lot of that kind of insight into all the... kind of how Arya company became to be, and you know, the passing of the torch that's essentially happened two times before already was cool. So
yeah, we even found out about a partner that Alicia had at one point.
I was joking. I'm like, I swear Alicia just claimed that she's getting married just to get the men off of her, because we never did see a guy.
Nope. Never.
It was funny because it's like, yeah, Alicia's going to this other company, or she's retiring and she's going to go to this other company.
No, she's going like, to the
she's retiring as an Undine, and she's going to join the council of the
people
water people,
yeah.
the water transportation board something. And her, and it was cool to finally at the very end get this little perspective that she's been working really hard to make the whole system better for the Undines. I'm guessing she's making it to where people don't have to retire in order for Undines to become primas, making it easier so that you can overflood the market with Undines and there'll be boats running into boats because there's every girl in the world wants to become an Undine or a prima. But no, she's like, oh yeah, at the same time, she's also getting married. And it's like, wait, what? Who? To who? And Akatsuki's like freaking out. So I'm like, okay, it's not Akatsuki. I joked later that it might be Woody. That maybe that was the whole thing, was that actually Woody swooped in and snagged up Alicia. And that's why Woody's bringing Akari eggs every morning, is because Alicia told him to. But no, it was like...
That would be brutal.
and then like way later on, it kind of alludes to when it was talking about why Alicia never just made Akari a prima, is because she wanted to kind of take her time and they were waiting for her to make a... somebody take over the company. That was the agreement before she became part of the council. And then
they hinted that Akita was betrothed.
Right. Akita said way back then when she first was going to hire an apprentice that you also have him waiting for you.
Yeah.
But then again, they never said and we never seen it. So, but again, Alicia is not like she's always present in the show the entire time. So it's not like she's not just, you know, dropping off people and then going to see her boyfriend or maybe it was an arranged marriage or something like that. It was, so it's kind of odd that never ever got explained. I don't know if it's an anime thing where they're like, oh, you can't show the male character because people still want her to be their waifu. It just seemed like a really odd decision. I'm curious if the manga maybe has more, maybe the future stuff will have. Who the hell is this dude? Is there a dude? Did she marry Arya? Don't know. We'll see. See you next time. Yeah. Good stuff, though. Very, very fantastic series. Anything else?
No. I think we've pretty much covered everything. Cute moment between Al and Aika. So.
Yeah. That was fantastic. Really, really cute. I love them together. And they finally showed Al grew up, finally. Al's taller.
Al's taller.
Like, yeah, he's almost taller.
Gained an inch.
As tall as Aika. He's almost as tall as Aika. He's getting there.
But that one was kind of silly. That we absolutely busted up laughing, joking about the fact that he was able to reach down and almost reach her by having his hips across this edge, yet standing up on her hands to reach up.
No, she picked him up
princess
style.
Yeah. Okay, come on, like, seriously.
No, just
you guys even halfway serious about getting out of here?
You know, Aika wasn't. Maybe that was the whole thing, as Aika wasn't even, you know, in the idea of actually getting out of there. So she was purposely foiling their plans of getting out. Yeah, that's exactly it. The amnesia episode was kind of jerk. Athena was kind of a jerk in that episode.
I like Athena, and the sad thing is, even towards the end of that, I was like, okay, that was real jerk.
But
at the same time, I'm like, I still love her.
it was like one of those things where it was like a really cool way of them actually explaining or showing more of her side and explaining more of Athena, because it was them basically going, okay, this is where you love to eat, this is your paddle, all these kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like the entire time Alice is heartbroken because she thinks that she lost her dear loved friend. And then at the very end, she's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm not actually amnesia. I was like, wow, jerk move. Ouch. Oh, I think Alice let her off really easy on that one. She could have dug her claws in and got more out of Athena just for doing that to her. So, yeah.
Well, Alice is pretty brutal sometimes too. So,
never.
Alice never. Is awesome. She's best girl.
Alice is great. That's it. I think that's it. No, yeah, I did really love the whole extremely overperformed ceremony just to retire a 4-year running Undine Prima. I'm like, man,
she was legendary. I mean, come on.
I don't think anybody can work for a company for 4 years and get that kind of a send off. That was absolutely crazy.
You got three companies coming together just for her.
Lining up the entire, all the boats, taking up, you know, nobody's transporting nobody because they have to have this big ceremony for the 4-year veteran.
So did they imply that Athena retired as well?
Or was she just doing that part-time? I want to say they showed her still rowing, and I think that she was doing the opera stuff on the side. I'm not sure, though. But I think that they were implying that she was just doing it on the side. She might have. Grew her hair out. That was great. That was the weird thing, though. Throughout the entire, all these seasons, it was odd how everybody flipped on their hairstyles. Like, Athena went from short to long. Aika went from long to short. Akari went from short to long. What was technically, it was like, sure, her bangs are so long at that point that she made them into a ponytail in the back of their head.
No, it looked like she had another stream all coming from the back, too.
Yeah, I think she just connected all three of them and made one long one. Never did get a conclusion on who ended up with Akari. That was the only thing, even though it's obviously Akatsuki's after her. But Woody was... there was still a battle between Woody and Akatsuki, and I was curious which one would win in the end. But, of course, we know now that Woody is the husband of Alicia, so I solved that mystery for everybody. You're welcome. Yeah, I think... Akira was the only one that her hairstyle stayed consistent. Alice went for the whole Alicia thing with the braided long hair, so that was interesting.
It wasn't really braided, but it does look like she's trying to at least fold them together like that.
Yeah, it was the whole braid, like one over the other and then one down the middle and over the other thing.
Alicia's is smooth. Hers is kind of more scruffed.
Sure. We'll go with that.
I'm serious.
We'll go with that. Anything else? Got a lot more conversation out of this than I thought we would, but that was a lot of things I want to talk about either way, so it worked out. Yeah, I want to miss it. Definitely want more of it, especially after that, the last two seasons, or two OVAs in season. All right, we hope you guys enjoyed our little spoiler discussion on this, and again, our review of this particular series. Definitely love it to death, and appreciate everybody for shaming us for the last 5 or so years for not watching Aria. We finally have watched it, and it only took sending a review copy that we had to watch. That we were definitely welcome to watch, so... yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed. Again, we're at talkingspear.com. You can go there for all of our anime, new and old, great community, the form of the top, social media links, the right side, and all that good stuff. And again, thank you to Nozomi Entertainment, Right Stuff, for sending us a review copy so that we can check that out. Even though we had the entire set from the backing that we did, so we still appreciate them sending us a copy. So we hope you guys enjoyed, and you all take care.
Os.